One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, it is Red Men Radio. I am Paul Mitchell and I'm joined this week by Christopher Pajak.
Hi there.
This is right. give people a few more bars of your hot Roy Hodgson impression.
No, you're right.
Can we just double that up in the edit? Like meep to meep meep in a
I'm itching.
Yeah. I always think about podcasts, and I always think about people who come to our podcasts new and fresh for the first time. But that being said, I really want to ask about the start to last week's podcast, because it started with the...
I'm itchy.
Can we have some context?
Tom was itchy.
Tom was itchy. Okay, cool. Sound. Yeah, just checking.
Because the stitch thought well more than I did, to be fair.
Was it like, a few more?
It was a good 30 seconds of itchiness beforehand. Not as much singing, but more the literally itching.
Last week's podcast brought in association with scabies. kick-off question this week comes from Jack Cole. Add one past player that you've seen regularly into the current squad. Who would it be and why? Prime time. I'd have Zabi or Gerrard. Special shout to Suarez too. Well, basically, Jack Cole's pretty much hit all of the decent answers to that question, particularly for our generation. Have you gone for anyone different?
No.
Is it Steven Gerrard?
It is.
Okay, sad. Yeah. I mean,
he's the right answer.
Yeah. I was thinking about the Suarez thing because we were just talking about in the office yesterday, I think, how I'd love Suarez back. You know, this is like prime Suarez. I'd love prime Suarez. You're not going to get prime Suarez because he's not prime Suarez anymore. And he would be a significantly worse player now if you were to get him back in the summer, say. But just having him as your next option, having him as the understudy to Roberto Firmino.
I don't think he would be.
I think he would be. I really don't.
I think they could fit in the same team.
Okay. Well, one of them in the 10, one of them centre forward.
Come on, though.
Absolutely.
Scores more goals than Bobby.
Yeah.
And
I don't think last season.
Prime Suarez does.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about.
Well, I think certainly then if he's not prime Suarez, he's the understudy for the. I'm not sure he is. And actually, I'm not sure he is because. Yeah. I think he still does get more goals than Roberto Firmino. He's certainly got more goals, I'd say, this season than Roberto Firmino. And if you were to throw Firmino in the 10, you got Suarez up front. Sad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like he's not used to playing in a front three either.
Yeah.
It's not like he's not used to being the main man.
Yeah.
He can certainly let Salah be the main man still. He's had 3 years of that or whatever at Barcelona. Yeah. I'd still take him back now.
Yeah.
But the answer's Steven Gerrard. And the answer's Steven Gerrard because... Prime Steven Gerrard could fill in anywhere you needed. And I actually would have him for that number 10 position behind Roberto Firmino. You know, when he linked up with Torres that season from the number 10, I'd have him there. But then if there was an injury crisis, you just drop him back, ask him to be the quarterback or ask him to be a box-to-box midfielder. Whereas I actually think this team right now could do with a Zabi where, when someone moves the ball really, really quickly to get you on. But Steven Gerrard can do that as well and do the other stuff. So that's why I'd go Gerrard over Zabi.
I was thinking about it, and what the Gerrard that I want is that just running, striding up the pitch with the football or overlapping people and what have you. And he definitely did that in that season with Torres. But I'm just thinking that, like, if let's say we've settled on 4-2-3-1, this season is our formation, and Genie Wijnaldum's been exceptional, but Gerrard and Fabinho is a midfield too. We win every game of football.
So what are you doing there then? Are you playing
exactly the team that we're meeting up and staying in the 10?
So Lallana on the right. Or Shaqiri
on the left.
Well, he played on the right last time.
Yeah. Shaqiri from the right.
Yeah, so the both times we've done it, Lallana's played.
Yeah.
Hasn't he? Right or left?
No.
Didn't he play the left-hand side the other last week?
He played when we played Red Star.
Yeah, didn't he play left? Or was that Huddersfield where he played left?
He played left wing, Huddersfield, didn't he? Yeah. But anyway, the yeah, no, because this is the thing as well. If we played him in the, if we like the Suarez thing, we like play him as an understudy. We, as we've done every summer, we just find a way of playing more attacking players. We just have five. We just have five forwards.
I like the idea of Gerrard behind Salah, Mane and Firmino.
Go ahead.
That's it. You're winning the league.
Yeah, why not? Why not, indeed? Right, let's kick on with the news and brief then. Reports in Turkey that Beşiktaş wants to give Karius back and take Origi have been completely and utterly...
no refunds?
Yeah, I've just been I've been poo-pooed by Dom King. He just said it's total bollocks. I think, they're apparently coming out of Turkey. This feels like... I don't think Karius is... properly settled in Beşiktaş. I don't think everyone's made up with him. What Dom King says is Beşiktaş are happy with him. Yeah. So that's why it's
there was rumours of him not being in the starting 11 this week, and then he obviously goes in the starting 11 and doesn't do great.
Did he concede? Well, he conceded an own goal.
I'm not sure if it was an own goal, but he decided. I think if you read into Steve's tweets that he marked a man on the post. Yeah. He was offside. I don't know.
Agenda whore. Yeah. Literally is an agenda whore. So I wouldn't put too much stock in this at all. He's on a 2-year loan. There's no way he's coming back to Liverpool. But also, my immediate reaction was, we've done this before. I like Loris Karius. He's sound. I think he's fine. I think he's a when it, if his head's not goosed. But then caveat all you want. I think he's better than Mignolet. But I just don't want that circus anywhere near us anymore. I'm fine for it. No one's having a debate about the goalkeeper situation.
If you had the choice, you're never taking him back. If he comes back, I'll support him.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan Sugar has bitten back at Jamie Carragher after they were talking about Spurs on Monday Night Football. Carragher was basically saying that he thinks Pochettino was overachieved, and if Spurs want to achieve anything really in the league, then they're going to have to spend big. Alan Sugar has basically said that no, he believes in the work that Pochettino's done, the youth policy, yada, yada, yada. Carragher's not wrong.
Did you watch the Carragher Neville argument last night about it after the match? Well, I didn't. I find myself agreeing with Gary Neville and agreeing with Jamie Carragher on this, and they were both complete like ends of the spectrum. So Carragher's talking about how, you know, they need to be able to go and do more. This net spend that they've had of 29 million since Pochettino's been manager isn't enough if you want to win the Premier League. If they're happy with fourth, then they're doing fine. Mm-hmm. But they shouldn't be. They've got the best squad that they've ever had. They've got the best team they've ever had, and they've got the best head coach that they've probably ever had.
Yeah.
So back him. Is Carragher's point. And Gary Neville's argument is, well, they're spending 500, 600 million on a stadium. They've got the budgets. They clearly can't work outside of those budgets. And to a point, Gary Neville's right as well. Mm-hmm. But when these budgets were drawn up for the new stadium and all that, the telly deal isn't the telly deal that they're in now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that extra money maybe could have gone. Yeah. Now, I don't know a club's finances, but I'm somewhere in the middle where I agree with Carragher and I agree with the budget side of things as well.
Yeah.
They do need. They can achieve great things, that Tottenham side, but they're on the precipice, aren't they?
They are. I was thinking about this. They are Dortmund. They are Borussia Dortmund, except that they're in a league where five teams can win it. Would be finishing if they were in Germany with that model, that team, and all that. They would be first or second, pretty much every season. But it's ludicrous the quality of the Premier League. And Carragher's right, because we know it's right. The biggest wage bill wins the Premier League more often than not. And they are absolutely fine. The thing that's worth considering is that, because we're talking about Liverpool investing, we've sold heavily in the last few years, so a lot of our budget has come from selling players. Spurs haven't done that, and that's how they've maintained their level as well. Because let's be honest, you could sell Harry Kane for 200 million.
They've tried that. And they'll be scared of getting the fingers burnt again because they did that with Bale and they didn't really invest that money wisely after the fact.
Yeah.
Not in the first couple of seasons, certainly.
Yeah.
So that's why they're not doing that, I think.
Yeah.
But I think they also got a belief in that side that they can achieve special things.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with having belief in your players and backing your players and backing your manager in that way.
They will. They'll spend money now. They'll end up having to spend money at some point, because if they slip out the top four, then that's a very hard thing. Going to be a very hard thing to get back into. But the problem there, the precipice they're on is... If they do, they could slip out of top four this season, and they're also due to sell someone, because someone's going to start to agitate out of Eriksen, Kane, Ali, Son, probably, you know what I mean, etc., etc. and then you're in a situation where you're selling one of your best players and you're not in the Champions League anymore, and that's a very slippery slope. But good to see Alan Sugar's not dead yet. Mark, say we want Iker Muniain on a free. I would be absolutely bang up for this. 25 years old, left winger, Basque. Love a Basque, me.
Free transfer. Yes, please.
Yeah, this would be an exceptional piece of business.
It's Barca, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's not the Metro. So, it's
the Spanish Metro.
Yeah, well, no, that's Don de Balón.
I think there's more than one. They're terrible.
I can never get it right. Mark the Madrid or the Barca one?
Don Balón, I think, of the Madrid.
Don Balón are just... Don Balón's just an invented website.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think they're the Barca one.
Mark are like the Daily Star of places, yeah. I mean, the point is, he is available on a free transfer if he doesn't get a contract signed. So, yeah, Liverpool absolutely go and get involved with all that. And the other one, which is, I mean, there's more to that than this. Ousmane Dembele apparently is surplus to requirements.
He's been told to find another club, if you believe the reports. Mm. And, hi.
Yeah, us. We're over here. This is exactly it, though. But there's two left wingers, and I am all in on Liverpool needing another guy who can play with pace on the left wing. I don't want to see Adam Lallana play on the left wing ever again for Liverpool. I don't want to see Roberto Firmino play on the left wing ever again for Liverpool. I wouldn't, to the point where the 10-minute cameo I saw of Naby Keita play there against West Ham, first game of the season, has him up higher in the pecking order as far as I'm concerned. Talk about it for ages. You want a young or whatever. You want another good player. If you can go and get a 25-year-old, great. But if not, if you can go and get one of the hot prospects in world footy...
You absolutely would. Yeah. Of course you would. Like, I mean, I think Klopp would quite fancy Dembele in that...
Well, he did that. He was joking, wasn't he, in his press conference when he said that player's on the market. He's available. Then yes. Everyone went, whoa!
You can joke and still be serious at the same time, can't you? You know what I mean? Yeah. I genuinely think he'd like to rebuild his career. And you've got the raw assets there.
Yeah.
That you if you do get it right, then you've got a £150 million player again.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always that guy, isn't there, who is the fourth or fifth choice in Barca's front three, and it never quite works out for him. Now, often that player is someone who's like prime age, like Alexis Sanchez, moving for example, or Pedro. He's a kid, and he's been obviously having come from Dortmund. I don't even know if Klopp's ever had any involvement with him, but the point is he's been at Dortmund, a DNA of a football club, which Jürgen Klopp created. So there'll be something in there that intrinsically Jürgen would like. Yeah, all over that. Nothing in that right now, by the way, other than he might be available and Jürgen once joked that he would be interested. But Anver Hill on Twitter said...
You still get a semi though, can't you?
Absolutely. With the links to Dembele resurfacing, would you prefer him to Pulisic?
The only thing that puts me off Pulisic is the pace thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think if it was a toss-up between the two of them, I would probably edge my bet on Dembele more because he's got that certain pace.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same as that. We talked about this before. As far as Christian Pulisic goes, you are getting you're basically winning America by buying him. He's got to be good enough to live up to the hype. And I was talking to Grant Wall over the summer about that, and he said this is the thing with him, is that at the minute... it's still all potential. There's all this talk about him being the great hope of American soccer, and he's just not there yet. He's a very, very tidy player indeed. But I agree. For what we need, I mean, it depends what do we need? Do we want? Because we don't really use Mane like a... he's got the pace, which helps, but it's not like we use him as a searing left winger per se. But I think having the option makes a big difference. I was talking to the Toffee TV lads, and Walcott's not great, but he finds himself in so many good positions because he's dead quick. And if you can get someone who's always got that dead quickness and they've got the intelligence and they've got the ability to mould it, more the better. Like
what Sterling does for Manchester City, yeah. He can go inside and take a shot, or he can go outside, hit the byline and just knock a 5-yard sweaty goal in for somebody else, you know what I mean? And Dembele gives you those as well, and I think Mane gives you that as well.
Yeah.
I think if you see more of Liverpool in a 4-2-3-1, Pulisic makes more sense to me. I could see him as a David Silva-esque player pulling the strings from just on the edge of the area later down in his career.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this. In fact, on the Red News Roundup show last week, talking about players that we were talking about Kerem Demirbay and saying how he doesn't score enough goals to be the attacking midfielder necessarily that we need, and we tend to find with Klopp is that unless you've got ludicrous pace, you do get moved back a row in the team, so you rely more on the technical attributes. So yeah, you're right. I'm not saying Pulisic's slow because he's not; he's quick. But you're right. The only other issue with this is that, and I think they're both left footers, which wouldn't naturally suit how we play on the left hand side. But I'm all up. I'm all up for options. That, I love an option.
It's worked for 100 years. I'm sure it could work again.
Yeah, sad. Ryan Giggs would be definitely a right winger in the modern game. Yeah. Okay, yeah. If you want more,
did Robin change this? Was it just Robin?
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
just like okay.
Yeah, there's a few under, but yeah, sure. Why not? Let's say it's Ian Robin and Frank Ribery for the sake of argument. Yes, watch the Red News Roundup show on the RedmenTV.com this week. Steve Hoard is back in the hot seat for that one, talking about all of these rumours and a whole lot more in more depth and detail. I suspect the focus on the Munayin thing will definitely be worth checking out. There's another little bit with Steve Hoard coming up later in the podcast as well. Let's get into it then, Chris. We were going to talk about Cardiff. We've done the final word show again, so if you want 60 minutes on that, that's there on the website. We'll touch a little bit on that, but I think obviously the story's kind of moved on since the weekend with the Man City Spurs game last night, but it was nice to be top.
Yeah.
For a bit.
Yeah, back to joint top now, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, that's... It looks like it's going to need 100 points to win the Premier League this season. It's ridiculous.
Trust Liverpool to do it the one year that five teams pulled a finger
it
up their arse, by the way.
Every year we get our shit together, there's always another team that has its shit together. We never get...
Why couldn't we get it right in 2015, 16?
Honestly. Any of those other seasons, like it's
the Leicester year. Why couldn't we just get it right that year?
Yeah, honestly, like it's genuinely ridiculous.
Chelsea have to be on one of their up years instead of a down. Yeah. Tottenham have to be the same as last year and playing well. Bloody Manchester City are about to break a record again.
Yeah,
their own record from last year. It's just fucking annoying, isn't it?
Absolutely ridiculous. It's got all the hallmarks of us being top again at Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not winning and being
three teams that were top at Christmas and didn't win the Premier League.
Liverpool. it's so annoying. I mean, the good thing is, one of the things we've been discussing a lot lately is about this the points to the goal difference thing. What we did with that win at Cardiff was, I mean, we got the goals. We did leave it late. No sense of being churlish about it. We added three to our goal difference, which is a positive thing for sure.
Closed the gap by two, didn't we?
Yeah, but this is what it was. This is what it was all about. That could have been a frustrating afternoon, and you can see that Man City are going to keep winning. The onus, what Liverpool have just got to do is just keep winning football matches.
Yeah, we do, and you've just got to keep on putting the pressure on, haven't you? It's so cliched for a reason, because it's true, isn't it? But it's Manchester City side haven't dropped off since last season. Mm-hmm. They haven't at all, and they've got the squad that they could get better and better. You know, the Mahrez addition, I think, is a very, very clever addition. He's such a good player. I mean, he gets the goal last night, doesn't he, that mm-hmm. breaks the deadlock and wins them the game. And it's one of them. If we lose this league on goal difference, of course I will be frustrated as hell. But without having a sturdy defence, I don't think we'd have had the same points as them.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So if we can close a 25-point gap in one season, then basically the next year we win by 25 points.
that's perfectly sound logic for me. The really encouraging thing going into this period, and why there's so many shades of last season, but even better, in the form of Shaqiri and Fabinho. I think we've had glimpses of Shaqiri ever since he pulled on the red shirt. He's looked like he's going to be a player for us. Fabinho is one that's been a bit of a slower burn, and we might yet see him, you know, he might well come out of the team for a couple of weeks, and we just don't know. But right now, it does feel like this side is evolving. And Shaqiri and Fabinho are a big part of that.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, whether it's by design or not, I'm not 100% sure. I think, you know, this two-man midfield certainly seems to suit us at the moment with the injuries that we've got. And you think about, well, does Naby Keita come back into the side? Where does he play in that midfield? And can he take, is it Genie's role that he takes, the slightly more box-to-box player? But then equally, when I watch the game back, I'm not sure Genie was the box-to-box player. I think Fabinho was more of the box-to-box player. So we're evolving, and these lads are just getting used to this formation and used to playing with each other in this formation. The fact that Shaqiri's a genuinely viable option is absolutely brilliant. Fabinho, exactly the same. The fact that no team knows what we're going to do up front anymore, because we don't know as fans which way around we're going to set up, whether we're going to play three up top with Firmino in the nine or him in the ten. It just gives us options, and that makes it so much more difficult for anyone to game plan for us.
It was interesting. I got asked where I make the deluded goon and DM me on Twitter, so can you just give us a little top line on how Liverpool are playing this season and what they're doing? And I was like,
that's bored.
Well, we're just going, we're winning games without playing anywhere near our best. We've been playing 4-3-3 for a year, and now we've just started playing 4-2-3-1. We had Firmino generally up front, but now we've got Salah up front. Take from that what you will, because I've got no idea. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, and we'll talk about the Arsenal game a little bit later on. But yeah, I mean, that's again, this is the credit, because Naby Keita starts the season and he's fine. James Milner starts the season and he's brilliant. Genie Wijnaldum starts the season and he's brilliant. But whether it's by, again, as you say, whether by plan or by conspiracy of circumstance, we're in a position now where I would look at Liverpool's team and I mentally, 4-2-3-1 is now the formation that Liverpool play in my head.
Do you know how happy that makes me feel?
Yeah, absolutely. 3 years. Come on! But it is, you know, and that's a really exciting thing. And the double exciting thing is, we can play 4-3-3 and we're still more than capable of winning most football matches.
I think that's the point, isn't it? And for me, you know, I've sat here for the best part of 3 months now since the start of the season, whatever it's been since the start of the season, and said, I think Manchester City will win the Premier League because I think they're better set up to win against all the other teams. And I think 4-2-3-1 makes us better against the other teams in this league. And I think we'll see 4-3-3 against sides like Manchester City, against Tottenham Hotspur, and against your Chelsea's, because that quick transition that we do works better in the 4-3-3. But if you want to dominate the ball, have that extra deeper line midfield there, lets us build up through triangles from the consolidation phase to the penetration phase and then into the finishing phase of the football pitch. And that's what you want to be able to do. And that's what we're able to do now with this. You look like you don't know what I'm talking about.
I just had a wonderful vision of you describing your Saturday evening using those
consolidation phase. Well, first of all is the build-up phase. Then there's the consolidation phase. Then the penetration phase. Then I've just jizzed on your tit face.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, there it is. There it is.
And you got night. You said night, but you meant daytime.
Sure. that's what I mean. We just look really good at the moment, and that's good. And I think that we're scoring a couple of goals has eased a lot of pressure and eases a lot of nerves as well, because I don't know what people will complain about next is the thing. That I'm sure there'll be something.
Moreno again.
Yeah, why not?
Carrier's coming back.
Lallana, whatever. We have got an international break looming. Can we start to get our shouts in for what the international break fume will most likely be about this time?
Injuries?
Sure, why not?
Fabinho, injured. Can't play the 4-2-3-1. Back to 4-3-3.
Important lesson to be learned from Monday night, and I tweeted this before the game and it was spot on. You just never back Spurs to do anything.
No. I mean, Arsenal fans will tell you they Spurs it up all the time. Yeah. And Lamella Spurs it up.
Eric Lamella, mate. Eric, come on, mate. That's your chance. That's your golden opportunity. Just stick it in the back of the net and make us all happy.
It's a bobble.
Yeah, well, it will do, won't it? He literally played on a brown bobble. That's what the whole thing was, surface.
You know,
With an NFL badge lightly scrubbed out underneath.
It's very similar to what Glastonbury looks like after 3 days of Glastonbury, to be honest, is what that pitch looks like, except it's not NFL on the floor, it's baggies. But anyway.
Well, in Spurs, you gang of pricks. Like I said, I went into it with no expectation, but I did think, you know, this is how the season was set up, and this is what we'd done. There had that corner it was the last kick of the game, and I just thought we could be about to watch something here, like a really pivotal moment. And I thought, don't do it to yourself. Don't give Spurs that much credit, because listen, don't get me wrong, Spurs could be a team that could come to Anfield later in the season and beat us. That'll be a thing, because they are, and that's what gets you. That's what sucks you in. As I see Spurs and I look at them there, and I look at the general start of the season, I look at the quality of the team, and I look at this, and I look at Harry Kane.
He was a bag of shite.
He was terrible, wasn't he? And I look at it and I think, God, this could be the moment. This could be the chance. This is the opportunity. A good team taking on Manchester City on their own turf,
mud.
And then no, Spurs absolutely went in fucking Spurs. And the thing is, 1-0, I think, flatters Spurs a little bit, to be honest, as well. Aguero's got a great chance, hasn't he? David Silva decides to, in our current parlance, wank it to death instead of just scoring. So it wasn't quite as close as maybe the scoreline suggests. Like, but so annoying, Chris. I just want Man City to lose a game of football. And everyone, weirdly, I'm still less arsed about Chelsea, and I shouldn't be. I mean, only because there's now a little bit of breathing room between us, very minute breathing room. I think this whole league will take a big, deep sigh of relief when Manchester City actually lose a game. And I think everyone will be able to enjoy the whole experience more, because
who beats them?
It's going to be someone random. It's either going to be Chelsea, or it's going to be one of those mad games of football where last season it took a Sterling 96th, 97th minute winner. That this season they'll draw it, someone will stick a mad one in against them, and that'll be it. But we've got three teams unbeaten in the Premier League, Chris. It's 10 games in. I cannot breathe. I am not enjoying this season, because how are you meant to enjoy it?
You're not supposed to.
Well, we only got the only enjoyment we got was this weekend, was we got to win, and we had 2 days of dreaming that Man City might lose to Spurs.
Mate, I turned the City game on, 30 seconds, they scored, I turned it off again. And then the kids went to bed, and then I put the second half on, and I just ruined my night. Yeah. Thankfully, I was doing some bits for the Stats and Tactics show, so it was only on, like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I was catching up on Bake Off, to be honest, while I had it on.
Fair
so
play,
it was fine. Like,
yeah. you need to, because, you know,
it's the final. Lumen, who do you reckon?
I'm not sure. The one I thought would win went out last week. Yeah, and what's the guy's name? Just want to give him a cuddle.
The lovely little fella who now I'm just so bored of his misery.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, you're as heartless as my wife. I mean, she said that last week. She's like, oh, will you just fucking smile?
Oh, will you just cheer up?
You know,
cheer up.
I just want to give him a cuddle, Paul.
Anyway.
I think he's fantastic.
No, I could have given him a cuddle a few weeks ago.
I swear down, he's got some shit in his nostrils, though. He's just walking around like he smells something bad all the time.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Right. We're going to move on to Arsenal in a moment. Before we do, last week Chris sat down with our good friend and host of the Red News Roundup show, and the man, the brains behind Read Liverpool FC, Mr. Steve Hoare, to talk about a whole wide range of topics.
He's so much better than I thought he was. Yeah. Like, these slide rule passes that he's playing, the one to Robertson for the fifth goal, they're Coutinho-esque.
Yeah.
The ball in for Salah again, two assists to Salah. He's found the way to link up with Mo Salah that nobody else in the side's been able to do this season.
It's a bonus, isn't it? Go stand next to the good lad and give him it loads, and it'll help. And I thought the pass to Robertson was amazing for the first one. I thought that was unbelievable. And I, like I say, it's hard to judge him, because I just remember him, although I did watch him at Bayern Inter, it was more like on the Champions League highlights or highlight shows. You were used to seeing him for Stoke. And so with all, you know, he looks up and he's not going to play a slide rule to Peter Crouch, is he?
No.
He's not. He's not going to get there. They had Diouf up front, who was more of a runner than someone who's going to get on the end of anything. So it was almost when he got around the box, he'd just take a shot, and you don't blame him, because a lot of them went in. And you look around him and you're like, who's he going to pass it to? But when he can spot those runs, I agree. I thought he would be more a winger than he is. I thought he was a get it down, get a ball and cross it, or, you know, free kicks and stuff. He's actually very, you can see why the bonus of him of getting him in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, you can get that more from that on the redmentv.com. Always very, very good stuff. There's an amazing back, you're building up quite the back catalogue of the who's who of people.
Of journalists and influencers. Yeah, it's good, man. It's it's probably one of my favourite shows to do because I don't have to give my opinion. Mm-hmm. I just get to basically interview people about their opinions about Liverpool, and you come away. I think sometimes, you know, me and you have got similar views on the football for maybe 85% of the time or something, but speaking to other people,
yeah,
is always just, it just broadens your horizons, doesn't it? So it's always really interesting. It's topical as well, but there's always a section of evergreen content for every show. So you actually can go back and watch the ones with Mel Reddy talking about being, like, you know, a female journalist in a male-dominated industry. And you could go back and look at some of the Echo journalists that have spoken about just about what they have to do on a daily basis and stuff. So it's dead interesting stuff.
Yeah, brilliant. Loads and loads of great stuff on there.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So we will crack on then. Arsenal, I'll level with you, Chris. I'm excited for this game. I really am, because I think it's good to test yourself against good sides and what have you. It's helped, I think, a little bit that they stumbled last week against Crystal Palace. But all that being said, when you see that Chelsea just dispatched them, I mean, eventually Man City dispatched them right at the start of the season, I think I'd have rather have just got them out the way. Now, with the gift of hindsight, I don't like this Arsenal with a little bit of tailwind behind them coming to this. I want broken Arsenal. I want uncertain Arsenal. I don't want happy Arsenal. I don't want Arsenal who know they can score goals.
Yeah, they are happy at the moment. It's true.
That's true.
Because, really, what was Wenger's overriding strategy of getting into the top four? If you could break it down.
Be the least shit of the good teams.
And by that, how would he do in the top six battles? Lose them.
Yeah.
But he'd beat the dross.
Okay.
Right now, I'm not sure Arsenal can say they're any different.
Okay.
They're playing a nice brand of football. Shock horror, Arsenal play a nice brand of football.
Mm.
Defensively weak. Shock horror. Mm-hmm. Arsenal are defensively weak.
Yeah.
They just what's changed?
They pass it out from the goalkeeper now.
What's actually changed?
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're a good side and they've got quality players. Those quality players were all there.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
And they've got a good manager. They had a good manager.
Yeah. Interesting. No, it's an interesting point. I think, yeah, what they're doing is, yeah.
Which all means that if they get beaten by us again, it's now same old, same old.
Yeah.
Because they can pass it off, it's early in the season.
Yeah.
But if we beat them, fucking hell, it's just the same as last year.
Yeah.
That's when the wheels start to fall off.
I must admit, I didn't watch the Palace. I didn't see the Zaha penalty decision. But I was kind of, I thought it was funny how if they'd lost the Palace and then went on to lose to us, you could see it'd be crisis time. All of a sudden, and that run of whatever it was, 11 wins or something that they had, count for nothing, because you're only ever as good as the last game and what have you. I think they'd looked at a danger, and
of course they are.
And they're a danger because Arsene Wenger planned this, and it's funny how Emery's getting all the credit. And look, I'm not saying no credit for Emery, because he's obviously got them playing. He's got them playing together fine. And Arsenal were a bit, were still up and down last year, but they've gone for a Hail Mary in the transfer market, and that was to get as many good players in that side as possible. And you know,
it's not a bad Hail Mary, really.
Well,
no,
God, if you're going to do something, it's a bit like what Man United did in getting the Mourinho in. It's short term thinking. It needs a bit more. You know, we're not going to see the true Arsenal probably for another year or 2 years really of building. But in terms of covering over the smoothing over the cracks in the meantime, having Aubameyang, having Lacazette, signing Ozil down to the new contract, and having Mkhitaryan as your attacking options, and then obviously they managed to get a tune out of Iwobi, which I think is a good player. It's obviously tricky, good pace as well. They've got the options to beat, and I think that's why I remain hopeful in this game, is they've got good quality players that I think, as you say, on a day can beat the vast majority of teams because they're just better than them. But I think if we are where I believe we are, and that is we've transcended up to another level, to a truly elite team, which is backed up by our goal difference, I think, this season, by our defensive record and by our goal scoring record, that is the fundamental difference between us and Arsenal. They play to me like Liverpool in 13-14. They play like Liverpool in the first season under Jurgen Klopp, maybe a bit of the second season as well. They're just not the finished. They're not.
And you know, you can catch them on a good weekend and you'll get your trousers pulled down, quite frankly. But I think when two sides who have very similar quality of players, that's when the tactics come through. And I think that's when Liverpool, and that's what you're talking about, Liverpool are further along the development in that regard.
There is a slight fear that, because, you know, making those comparisons to those Liverpool sides, is that they could treat this as a one-off game. Mm. And like we were very good in those seasons at dragging good teams down to our level and beating them. Yeah,
thankfully they don't have that ability to grab a game by the scruff of the neck, as it were, do they? Whereas Liverpool can box clever, Liverpool can bring you down to their level a little bit if you need to, and Liverpool can hit you on the counter-attack, and ultimately they're at home. And if Liverpool decide to play quick transition football, then we've got that. And but we've also got a defence that's going to be able to soak up a lot of that Arsenal pressure for time.
Yeah.
It is going to be a really, really great game, and it is one I'm looking forward to, more from the fact that, not because I think we'll beat Arsenal easily, because I want to get a level of where we both are.
Yeah.
And I think only by playing a side can you actually get that level. Like, Chelsea was so much better than I thought they were for playing them twice in a week.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, shit, no, actually, I'm going to give all the credit in the world to Chelsea at this point, because they are good.
Yeah.
Whereas before then, I was like, oh, they've just beaten a few.
Whereas now we'll find out. Yeah, I agree on that. What I kind of feel this game might be like, and I really hope it's like, is a bit like that bit in Indiana Jones where the guy's got the swords and he's swinging it all around and doing all his acrobatics, and Indiana Jones just pulls his gun out and shoots him.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I feel like Liverpool are more like this season. I think Liverpool in years gone by would have been like, flying, ha-ha, and I've got two swords too. No, I've got three swords.
Fuck this.
No, we've got a gun. Fuck off. Get out of my way. And I like the idea of, like, you know, Arsenal will come, and I think they will look to attack, and they'll look to get the crowd up, and they'll be dead excited, and they'll be buzzing to test themselves in this game. And I do like that, the sucker punch notion. You know, there was a video doing the rounds. I don't condone, you know, people digging people on the streets. I don't know if you saw it, as a fella like outside someone's gate, and he takes his shirt off and he's got these mad gloves on and he's trying to start on this lad, and he just goes like, step off, and eventually he just loses it and he just catches him on the jaw with one and sparks him out completely. It's Twitter, isn't it? You know, there'll be X number of variations on that, I'm sure. But I really like the idea of us playing a bit of rope-a-dope in this, of us going, go on then, let's see what you got. And, you know, them trying this little interchange, and Virgil van Dijk just goes, nah, you're all right. Joe Gomez goes, nah, you're all right. I'm really, really putting them down. You know, I like to see the smash game, but I would be all over this being like a comprehensive 2-0 where you're scoring either half, or, you know, a 3-0 where you score.
I think this has got gegenpress goal wrote all over it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we go back to playing how we played against City last season.
Oh, yeah.
And you do that. That's like, all right, point, you know what, mate? If you want to play it out from the back, here come Firmino, Salah and Mane. Yeah. See what you can do there.
Right, very interesting. And the good thing is now that, you know, we can go back to that 4-3-3, having an industrious midfield in this game if we want to go down that way.
Also worked against them last season. We beat them 4-0 with Hendo, Milner and Wijnaldum, didn't we?
The big issue will be remembering the game of the Emirates last season where we totally threw it away. But you'd like to hope, I mean, that came in a spell where we did that a few times. We obviously had the Sevilla game as well, not too far from that. I think we're a different beast. I mean, they are as well to some extent, but I would trust that we're a much more complete animal than the maybe that. But I think it's exciting because I can think of two completely, like I say, there's two different approaches floated that I think could be very, very exciting and very, very potent against Arsenal. I am really excited to see what they do because it'd be such a thrilling notion, I think, to take a team that's had such a good start to the season, that's got so much attack and talent, and to be, if we can nullify that.
Oh, right, Arsenal.
Yeah.
Could have been said that you were talking about us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. but this is the thing.
Because we've had a better start to the season.
We've had a better start to the season, and yet none of us are pairing over how we're playing footy at the moment as well, which is still a very, very exciting thing. But yeah, it would be nice to get those points in the bag.
Don't get me wrong, I like the rope-a-dope idea, and I like the gegenpress idea, but I also like the idea of just doing what we did to Cardiff to them. Basically having 85% of the ball at their house and fucking mullering them side to side.
Yeah, there is that. Or equally, just do it off of nothing and then just score from a corner. Just shut up shop for like that 85 minutes.
Also, if Aubameyang could just go back to what he did against, was it Manchester United, where he just kept it in the ball over the bar, that would be really appreciated.
Absolutely super. It's interesting, isn't it? Our good friend Emma Sanders at the BBC did an article on if the league table was based on first
was
half
that
performances.
Emma who did that?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. That is one pointless stat, Emma. Well done.
Yeah, it was great. but it was telling that we talk about the rope-a-dope thing or what have you, that Arsenal, and so many people have talked to me about this, Arsenal are there for the taking in first half of football matches. So you could, you know, that would suit the gegenpressing thing. Let them try and do their brand of football before they get settled into it. We go, we smash them. We do what we've done to Man City, as you say. We do what we've done to a number of Roma, a good example of that. Go, do the business, and then, yeah. Just defend for 45 minutes to be splendid. Okay, questions this week come from Emil, who is a subscriber to theredmentv.com. He's left this on our subscriber exclusive Q&A, which we do after every one of these podcasts. We take more of your questions, do more of your answers. And this was one that he left for us. Question, which would be a good start. Klopp always says he wants to look new signings in the eyes before making a decision and puts mentality over name first. Who are the top three players in the world do you think Klopp wouldn't take due to potential mentality or squad harmony problems?
Neymar.
Oh, yeah, shout. Yeah, absolutely. He would be the perfect third for me.
I mean, he's literally one of the top players in the world as well, you know. And I just don't think he'd go anywhere near him.
I think it was telling. I think we mentioned this on the final word after PSG, that he made a beeline for Mbappe and made a point of shaking his hand and saying, oh, blah, blah, blah. And he literally just went like, yeah, Kurt nod. Like a parent you're walking past on the way out of school. Like, yeah, I know you, but I don't want to talk to you. Nod, there you go. Great.
I just don't think he'd suit us either. You know, he just wants to be the centre of the attention, doesn't he? Like, he's the ringmaster of the circus almost. Yeah. And that's not what Liverpool are about. It's not what Jurgen Klopp's sides are about. So for me, that's pretty much the reason all three of these guys get into this. Who was your first?
Pogba.
Yeah, I've got Pogba.
I think, me and Tom were discussing this just yesterday, I think Pogba is tremendous. Every time I watch him, I think, what a player. But he is the most... My Neymar's another great example of this, by the way. He's so self-aware as to what he is as a modern footballer. He's such a modern footballer and everything that goes around it, and it's the strong social media game and it's all this stuff. And I think that makes him a worse footballer because that, like the penalty thing, he does that because of the attention thing. Like, you know,
you see that one where Usain Bolt ran the 100 metres faster than his penalty runner.
Honestly. And I
thought I was watching a GIF.
Oh god.
To be honest.
Yeah, like that Zaza one from back in the day when he did the mad run up for Italy. Yeah. That kind of stuff. Like, I keep coming back, I've said a few times on these podcasts, Eric Cantona was a fucking bellend, a massive prick. But like that whole, like, he's got the collar turned up and he scores the goal and he just does, arrogantly sniffs the air because he's just the best. And like, I hated him, but there was something so disgustingly, just cocky and admirable about that at the same time. Be the best and then show it off after the fact. Pogba doing that stuff is just like, it's all the hashtags and the haircuts and all the stuff that go with it that you write. For the same reason as Neymar, it's too much about him, Pogba, the character. He's not a character, he's not a character, but he's bolted on. He's like a he's just like a fucking avatar of a football player, isn't he? It's like Ready Player One. He's just decided to, oh, I've just unlocked this new, you know, I've spent my coins on this new celebration. And it's like, great, you fucking bellend. Just score the fucking penalties, just pass the football, because he's so good at football. I could do an hour on how much I hate Paul Pogba, to be honest. But yeah, who was your second?
Pogba.
Who's your third?
Ramos.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, why not?
Don't think Klopp would like him in the squad.
I think Klopp would love
Ramos. I don't think he would. Not after seeing that video of what he was basically bullying one of the other players and training like the young lads and stuff like that. He's a great centre-half in the same way that Pogba's a great centre-midfielder and Ramos might be the best centre-half in the world behind one Virgil van Dijk, in fact, and Joe Gomez, for that matter. But, nah, not for me.
Okay. For me. Eden Hazard was the other one I picked.
Ooh.
Yeah, similar to that thing. If Eden Hazard played to the best of his ability season in, season out, I don't think Jürgen Klopp would have a problem with him. But the fact that he just decides to have a year off because the World Cup, I'll make sure I'm fit for the World Cup, couldn't be less of a Jürgen footballer mentality than that. No. Yeah, I mean, there was that great story in the Rafa Honigstein book, and the number one priority when they asked the football player was like, what do you think of training? And it's like, if they didn't say, oh, I love training, or I wet my bollocks off in training, or these are things like, that's all right, I don't train, but I give it all on the weekend.
No, nah, all right.
Not interested. Not interested. Hibs, at Hibs 1001. Do you think even if and when we start to win things and we will have members of the squad that will be hated by some of the fan base?
Yes, initially.
Okay.
I think as you're winning that trophy that season, there will be players who are still vilified almost. Mm-hmm. But once you've won the trophy, they become loved in a different way.
Yeah.
Jimmy Traore.
Yes. No one would ever have Jimmy Traore back ever. Ever, ever, ever. In any fantasy team, Adrian, no one remembers him fondly as a footballer. But no one harbours any ill feeling towards him anymore. And people fucking hated Jimmy Traore at the time.
That's what happened.
And people hated Igor Biskan. And they hated Milan Baros.
Now they're just lovable fools who've got Champions League medals, you know what I mean?
All of these players, you're dead right on that. The only thing is that, again, it's this modern world and people feel like people communicate in misery. And when you've got nothing to talk about, Twitter is like work. It's like when you shit, you go into do a mundane job with a random collection of people, you just talk about the stuff that does your head in, and that's what it is. So inevitably, I think there will be, but you're right, I think it's maybe that after the fact, the players that are disliked on this side, they gain a cult status once they're associated with big trophies. Things that happened. Like the only issue we might have is that the players might not actually be anywhere near our first 11s when we do win stuff, so they might be robbed of that opportunity to be part of it. But yeah, who knows? But yeah, basically, just I see people ask about like Adam Lallana. Adam Lallana's sound, right? Adam Lallana is an absolutely sound footballer. I think it's probably this notion of people forget what the word hate means. So there's a lot of people who will say they hate Adam Lallana when, no, we hate Man United. Think of hate as 10, and then think of how much you feel about Adam Lallana and Adam Lallana.
Some people might just not like him.
Yeah, exactly.
It might be a zero on the hate scale.
The point I actually wrote this down, you don't have to love or rate all of Liverpool's players, but if you use the word hate to describe a current Liverpool player, there's something wrong with you. Yeah? Si disagrees. Si's got a lot of hate in his heart. Unless it's Alberto Moreno. Great. We're going to be taking more questions on the subscriber-exclusive Q&A. We'll be filming that momentarily. What things do we like now that never interested us in our younger days? What would our dream Champions League run be? Someone wants advice for proposing to their missus. I won't say his name because this is the public one. I don't want him to get him in trouble ahead of time. What a crap squad number 5-a-side team and a whole host of other things as well. So come to theredmentv.com. If you like the dafter stuff that we do on the podcast, there's loads more of that. If you like the serious stuff that we do, there's loads of that. We've got every angle of Liverpool Football Club covered on theredmentv.com. It is free for a month and our new website is sex. Go over there, have a look around, check it.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.